Everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by my carbon copy, Rich Stambolian. We're the same boy.
Are we the same boy?
Same boy.
You know where you could find me? You could find me at the Big Bad Boy Store.
You are at the Big Bad Boy Store. What's going on, Rich? Saturday edition, extended edition. Did Vicky pop at that joke?
That's actually my wife's joke.
Is that really?
Yeah, because I get my action figures from the Big Bad Toy Store.
And, do you really?
Yeah, it's called Big Bad Toy Store. It really is. And it's I'm not promoting them. They're not. They have nothing to do with this show. But it's called Big Bad Toy Store. And the other day, Vicky was like, oh, you got something new from the Big Bad Boy Store?
I got to take this Christmas logo off. There we go. Now we're back to normal. There we go.
Are we back to normal?
Yeah, we're back to normal, guys.
Hey, Joel Pearl in the chat room.
A lot going on. A lot of pro wrestling to talk about. Man, what a way to start the year. And I hope this trend continues. And this is kind of like a sign of things to come in pro wrestling for 2022. Because we've had a fantastic week all across the board of really cool wrestling shows. Started off with WWE Day 1. Ending with Battle of the Belts tonight for the Battle of the Belts and Impact has a pay-per-view. Hard to Kill, right?
Oh, that's right. And you know, it's funny. When I see Battle of the Belts, I think of the first show I ever played locally with a band. I was 19 years old, maybe 18, and it was called the Battle of the Babes.
Okay.
That is forever stuck in my head. Battle of the Belts,
I had no idea that you were going to go with a Battle of the Babes, and I was going to be like, it was the Battle of the Babes competition you were in. I was literally about to say that.
We played our set, and then they did like a weird wet t-shirt contest, and it was right on Metropolitan Avenue.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. How do you want to begin this, Rich?
Do you want to do the Day 1 fallout and quickly go through the Raw results? Because there's some kind of interesting stuff here.
Yeah, let's do that. Go into it.
All right. So Roman tested positive for COVID the day of the show, which was last Saturday.
Stupid baby.
Oh, no.
I threw that baby. I thought, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Because the whole Roman, that main event changing, I don't think anybody expected they were going to go in this direction, which is always a positive. No. I like it when they do this. And for all the criticism you could give to WWE, when they are pushed against that wall, when they're pinned against that wall, when baby's put in that corner, they do fantastic. Oh, yeah. They do great. When you're like, oh, they're going to really screw this up, they do fantastic. So maybe it's like everybody dropping the bar, you know, a little bit, and then it working out. But Roman Reigns tested positive. They announced it that afternoon. Pay-per-views are no longer pay-per-views, Rich.
No, they are now being referred to as premium live events. Are you going to say PLEs? You're going to say PLEs from now on?
PLEs. You know, somebody wrote that to me, not about WWE. It was a different live streaming thing. They were asking me to come on as a consultant, and they use PLE. And I'm like, what the F is a PLE? This is like months ago. I'm like, what the hell is a PLE? I kept reading it. I'm like, PLE, PLE, PLE. And I thought it was like a league.
Like, interesting.
Yeah, I was like, oh, something league event. I didn't put it together, but that's the term now, inside term amongst media, PLEs, premium live events, which kind of makes sense, but they're all pay-per-views because you're paying to view it, right?
In some form or fashion. This is a PLE. We're doing a PLE right now.
You are, yeah. We are doing
a
PLE.
This is a premium live event.
I'm a premium live event. So are you.
Andrew Zarin is a premium live event whenever you see him in person.
Drew legit got hurt. He has a neck injury, and he was written off TV with an injury per Fightful, so he's hurt, and that kind of changes the plans moving forward, because I believe he was going to be in the mix with Roman. That's how they were going to do this. Johnny Knoxville declares for the Royal Rumble. Rich Holland broke his nose by ricochet by doing a shooting star press. Brock was added to the main event for the WWE title match. And he won by pinning Big E clean.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. RK-Bro with the Migos, defeated the Street Profits. I want to know what they paid Migos. Because, you know, I had booked
$25,000. Did you really?
I had booked them for the club. You know? So I know what I paid.
Do you think this is one of those situations where it's like, I'm such a fan, you don't have to pay me?
No. They paid him a lot of money.
Interesting.
They paid him a lot of money for this. Which is,
you also glossed over. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No. You go.
Let's say you also glossed over the Knoxville thing. Were you a Jackass fan at all?
No. Hated Jackass. I hate that kind of humor. Never did it for me.
Really?
Yeah. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Because you don't want, you're terrified of getting your nuts hit.
I just don't like it. It just makes me very, very uncomfortable. I don't like hurting humor.
Interesting. I never knew that about you.
Yeah. Made me very, very uncomfortable.
Jackass 2 is a masterpiece, bro. You should watch it.
Listen, I've seen it. I've seen all the Jack. I used to watch it. Like, it was when it was on MTV, like, in the late 90s, 2000s. Like, everybody had it on. But it just never, I never really liked it. The whole Steve-O thing, I don't get.
You don't get Steve-O?
Don't get him.
Oh, Steve-O's great, man.
Yeah. Don't get it. I know. And I'm shocked you like it.
Really?
I'm really surprised by this. Yeah.
Dude, I love Steve. I love all those dudes, except for Bam. And
you don't care for Bam or Giro.
I don't care for Bam. I do love Knoxville and Steve-O and Pontius and Tremaine.
Nothing.
And Weeman.
There's nothing for
Weeman,
me.
Weeman's awesome.
There's nothing.
Is this the line? Is this the line we're drawing now?
This is the line we're drawing.
Jackass fans or non-Jackass fans?
Yeah.
also, guys, if you're going to super chat us, we are going to answer those at the end of the show and get to them at the end of the show.
Yes.
Please don't feel like you're being ignored. But with the current format that we're doing, any super chats are going to be addressed at the end.
Yes. Where were we? Becky Lynch defeated Liv Morgan to retain the title. It was the finish was wacky because she was supposed to put her foot on the ropes and miss the ropes. And the commentary had to save that by saying, like, oh, she didn't even need to cheat. She was trying to cheat, but she didn't even need to cheat because she got the pin. Usos defeated the New Day to retain the tag team championship for the 800th time. We also saw it happen last night. Edge defeated The Miz. Beth Phoenix came out to chase Maryse, and it was a timing cue issue where she's just screaming, waiting for her theme to kick in so she can walk down the ramp. Raw, let's begin with this. Monday Night Raw. Paul Heyman came out with Brock Lesnar, who tells the crowd to acknowledge him. Heyman put over the other four guys big, especially Big E. Good job in that segment. And this is now we're getting this bizarre thing. So here's how there was a lot of speculation that Big E was going to win the match. I believe Big E at one point was probably going to win the match, but it was changed to Seth Rollins. And that kind of makes sense because that was the original singles match. They weren't going to have this 5-on-5 match. They were going to have a singles match.
Right.
And poor Seth got pushed out of this.
All right.
But we ended up with that 5-on-5. I think the big show in here was Bobby Lashley. That was the story of that match.
Oh, yeah.
So let's see. Raw, we'll do this very quickly.
Yes, please.
Because we have a lot of other stuff to get to and a lot of new stuff. Paul Heyman came out with Brock, tells the crowd to acknowledge him. Heyman put over everybody in the match. Also took shots at Roman for getting COVID. That was cool. And we got a match at the end of the show to determine the number one contender to face Brock Lesnar at Royal Rumble. And it was Bobby Lashley, Kevin Owens, Big E, and Seth Rollins. Really good main event.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley for the first time. This has been something that people have been wanting for a very, very long time. I believe when Lashley came back to the company, that was going to be the program that they were thinking about doing. I mean, every indicator was going in that direction, and they ended up going with his, like, look at my gluteus maximus gimmick. He would just strut his ass.
Yeah.
Just comes out strutting his butt. So that was strange. Where do you want to go from here? Because we got Raw Death, so do you want to go in order of days?
Do you want to do NXT real quick?
Yeah, let's do that because that was a big. Okay. This was a a coming of age story for many people on this show.
Yeah, for sure.
We saw this happen, and then we saw the releases happen, which we're going to go into. But very interesting stuff here, and the direction of NXT has totally shifted. The ratings really held up for this. It was their highest rated show since last year's Halloween Havoc, I believe.
That's fascinating. So basically, from judging by that, would you say, apart from the fan discontent, they're doing something right?
I don't think there is fan discontent. I think there's Twitter vocalized people having discontent. I think, you look at their ratings and they're holding up. People are watching this. So whether they're watching because they don't like it, I don't know, or but they are watching. You know, their ratings are not, you know, with all the people that they lost, right? They lost, I mean, that entire roster is gone. They're down like 150,000 views. Like even when they had Adam Cole in there, but they were doing it in the sevens, high sevens, low eights.
Okay.
They're doing high sixes, maybe a low seven. They're not too far off.
Okay.
So, North American champion Carmelo Hayes defeated the Cruiserweight champion Roderick Strong to unify the titles. AJ Styles brawled with Grayson Waller, setting up the main event for next week. Matt Riddle and MSK. I don't like this combination, by the way.
Why not?
I would have much rather had Jeff Hardy with MSK.
You know, that would have been really cool. I don't mind Riddle with MSK because they have the 420 connection going.
Is that what it is? Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
So, dude, you know what we totally missed out on? Do you remember when Jeff got drafted, he cut this promo because he's like, you're going to see a Matt Hardy you've never seen before. Like some like talking about like he's reinventing himself.
He said we were going to see a Matt Hardy. Jeff Hardy said we're going to see a Matt Hardy.
We're going to see a Jeff Hardy. And I was like, and you were saying like, oh, maybe we're going to get Willow.
I've been wanting Willow for years, dude. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Love that movie, by the way.
Oh, great movie. I think they're doing a prequel to it.
To Willow?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's like the story of like Mad Mardigan.
Is it really?
I think
so. Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Go ahead. What else do we have?
Matt Riddle and MSK defeated Imperium. NXT Ladies Champion Mandy Rose defeated Cora Jade and Raquel Gonzalez in an ODQ triple threat. I think they're going to keep that belt on Mandy for a while.
Hold on. My kid is screaming. Let me yell at them. Hold on.
All right.
All right. Maybe I just yelled at them.
Maybe that's something you shouldn't say while we're live.
Screaming at them.
I'm going to yell at my kids
right now,
dude.
I'm going to yell at my kids. Hang on. Give me a second. I got to yell at my kids. All right. And then what else do we have here so we can move on from NXT?
Von Wagner attacks Chase U. And a random fan, which was a plant. Bron Breakker beat Tommaso Ciampa to win the title with using a Frankensteiner, one with the Steiner recliner, but he came out and kicked down the last remnants of the black and gold NXT symbol.
Yeah.
His entrance foreshadowed the next day's news. It's very interesting. Like, this clearly was planned. You know, I don't think these releases probably came as a shock. I'm speculating. The NXT releases probably came as a shock to the fans, other than internally. Internally,
that's very true.
They probably prepared these guys ahead of time and be like, look, like out with the old, in with the new. Sorry, it's just business. You know how it goes. And with that being said, please go into it.
So WWE made massive cuts at the Performance Center. I posted the statement that WWE sent me regarding this, and you can kind of read into it a little bit more. Obviously, massive cuts. They're changing their initiative. They're changing. It's a new guard coming in, essentially, right? So we have William Regal, Road Dogg, Timothy Thatcher, Danny Burch, Hideki Suzuki, Kathy Carino, which was Allison Danger, which was training them. She was the lead women's trainer. Dave Kapoor, which is Ranjin Singh, Scott Armstrong, George Carroll, Ryan Katz, Chris Guy, which is Ace Steel, and Samoa Joe again.
Jeez.
Very interesting. Release, you know, Regal, Road Dogg, Armstrong, you know, this to me really shows that it's a changing of the guard from Triple H's era, Hunter's era.
Oh, for sure.
Still there, by the way. But I don't know anything personally if Hunter's out of NXT, if they're figuring out a new position for him, a new way of developmental, but he's not running the show here at this very moment. Now, I don't know if he is eventually, but these are major cuts done to people that have historically been in authority positions in the company. And when you do that, that is essentially saying that you no longer want to go with their thought process, their philosophy on what the product should be. You're bringing in guys that are going to fit the new philosophy.
Right.
Now, I don't know who's going there, and I don't know what person's taking what position yet, but, you know, William Regal, Road Dogg, and Armstrong. Armstrong was a referee trainer. I mean, he's one of the best referees. Kathy Carino was a lead trainer. Very interesting stuff. Very, very interesting stuff here, but we're going to see where this goes. I don't know. This could be a positive. This could be a negative. We got to let it play out.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how I see this. I would definitely let this play out. You know, Regal put out a very nice message saying, you know, pretty much like there's no animosity, there's no bad feelings. WWE saved his life.
Yeah.
I know Road Dogg feels very positive about them too.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, now we could finally get a New Age Outlaw reunion in AEW.
Well, it's happening. I think they're doing a signing together like immediately.
Oh, excellent.
And it's funny, like all these guys are going to land on their feet, you know? I don't think Road Dogg can use his name if he goes to AEW.
No, but it'll be Brian James.
He'll be Brian James. I think for me personally, I think the Samoa Joe thing combined with what's going on with the rest of wrestling.
So now that's the interesting piece, right? Samoa Joe. What do you think happens?
In my fantasy land, Samoa Joe tears through AEW and New Japan and Impact and just destroys everybody. He becomes the biggest monster in pro wrestling.
If you're Tony Khan, you really have to think who you're bringing in now.
Because for sure.
I would definitely have Samoa Joe and Keith Lee in my top two. Mm-hmm. Over Bray Wyatt, over Braun Strowman. You have all these tremendous releases. Mm-hmm. Who are going to be two people that are going to be able to give you what you want? And listen, all these guys are fantastic, right? There's 80 or so wrestlers that are free agents right now that could come over. But, you know, listen, Samoa Joe is a guy that's beloved. And even by casual WWE fans, I have to tell you this. It's rare that you get a guy that is so beloved on the independents and so beloved by, you know, P1 fans.
Mm-hmm.
That it converts over and is beloved by casual viewers. And he's one of those guys that is beloved by casual viewers way more than Keith Lee. Listen, Keith Lee, we love, you know, what he's able to do because we've seen the best of the best of Keith Lee.
Oh, for sure.
WWE never got to see that. And so we're a little bit biased in our viewpoint because we've seen him perform at such a high level. Samoa Joe performed at a very high level in WWE on the main roster. You know, his match with Brock Lesnar was cool. He had some great, awesome matches. And he's believable. That's the thing. You look at this guy and he's believable. So is Keith Lee. Keith Lee's believable. I mean, he's a big teddy bear. But, you know, I want to give him a hug. You don't want to give Keith Lee a hug?
I want to give him the biggest hug.
Biggest hug, man. And it's like gentle. It's not like he doesn't hurt you. It's very gentle. Keith, listen. When I see you, can I give you a hug? Just a nice hug. Like a nice friendly. But I'll rest my head on your shoulder for like a little too long. Just a little too long.
What would you do if you met Keith Lee and he was like 6 inches shorter than you?
I'd be so upset because I'm not that tall. 5'9" and a half on a good day. I'd be so upset. I'm like, dude, what happened? So here's another interesting story. Walter has wrestled his last match in NXT UK. I know that he got his visa and I believe he got married. Him and his wife are working, are thinking about moving. So he's definitely coming to the States. I don't know when this is going to happen. I think Royal Rumble would be a great place to debut him. Put him in NXT. You know what, dude? Here we go. You ready? Have Walter be the first big opponent for Braun Strowman. Braun Breaker.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Right?
That would be awesome, yeah.
Really cool program. And you move Walter up to the main roster because I think he's totally ready for the main roster. Have him just do like a nice quick program over there. Build him up as like this monster killer. And move him to the main roster.
You know what would be cool?
Mm.
And this is very out of left field.
Yeah.
Put Walter with Roman in that stable as an enforcer.
Ah, can he dress up like in the whole getup, or you think that wouldn't pass on TV?
What do you mean?
Like a little, with the jacket?
I think he would.
You think they'll keep that gimmick, like that very strong gimmick?
I think that would be cool if you had. Picture this. So you have Walter in Roman's corner at some point as some kind of enforcer. They have a match, blah, blah, blah. And then at some point you get a program between Walter and Omos.
Give me the best way WWE could ruin Walter.
Comedy character.
Yeah, Bruno.
Yeah, German comedy character.
German comedy
Austrian
character.
Comedy, whatever, yeah. Whatever, like, nonsense ideas they have rattling around backstage for, like, you know, it'll be really great for Walter. Let's make him the Swedish chef.
Yeah, let's make him the Swedish chef. Walter's shorter than Roman, by the way.
Oh, interesting. He looks gigantic.
He's 5'7", dude. You don't know that? You don't know that?
He's kayfabe 5'7".
So, wrestling, you know, this bizarre universe that we were in where everything's split. The universe is split and they merge. Yeah. Jeff Jarrett is showing up in GCW and he attacked Effie. And now you've set up a match between Effie and Jeff Jarrett to possibly take place, I believe, at the Hammerstein.
I think that's going to be fun.
I think, you know, listen, I have nothing against Jeff Jarrett, but I think one of the funniest things I've ever heard about him is that he broke 10,000 guitars over people's heads and never sold a dime, never made a dime off of it. He never sold a ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
He broke all those guitars, but never made money off of it. I think that's such like a weird, funny assessment.
But isn't Jeff Jarrett also like almost kayfabe-wise, like the downfall of anything? Like,
Yeah. I have tremendous PTSD from TNA. Yeah. I can't listen to that TNA theme. When I hear it, my brain just malfunctions. I just curl up in a ball and start crying. And then I think of the King of the Mountain.
NWO, the TNA stuff.
Yeah.
Four Horsemen. Four Horsemen, him pseudo joining the Bullet Club.
He did join the Bullet Club. Anaheim, great. NJPW is returning to Access in March. Great. Right after Impact on Thursdays. I think this is pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, very, very cool stuff. Since we're on NJPW, let's go into this. New Japan, Wrestle Kingdom 16. Attendance was low, obviously, due to regulation. Mm. They had 12,047 paid fans for night one and 6,300 fans for night two. Listen, am I shocked by this? I don't know, because I was one of these people. There was no buzz for this show.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate. I think it got overshadowed by a lot of stuff. New Japan has taken a big hit in the last couple of years as far as what they could do, what they can't do, the lack of foreign talent, the lack of people being able to go over there in a war. Losing a lot of people, and also, like, over the last few years, they've banked on big surprises during Wrestle Kingdom. You know, like, there was like that sweet spot of like 2015 to 2019 where you had like Jericho, Moxley, Kenny Omega, like all these guys wrestling on the card.
Yeah.
And, you know, Naito, Okada, like your top Jay White, like your top guys. And this, no Jay White on any of the Wrestle Kingdom
stuff. How is that possible?
I think it might be a travel thing, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you know? I mean, he's in Florida, right? I believe he's in Florida. But I mean, that is something. And I have to tell you, like, very little buzz about this. Nobody was really talking about it. People really didn't care. I feel bad, but I also, you know, some of the booking has been weird. Very Americanized booking happening in New Japan right now, which I don't necessarily think is a huge positive for them.
Interesting.
There's a whole bunch of issues with New Japan right now for me, and we'll go into this. You want to run down the card really quick?
Yeah, so Wrestle Kingdom night one out of 75 nights. Night one of 18. It's actually three nights, which I guess is cool, because the third night, which I believe takes place tonight, took place already at the Yokohama Arena, is not being shown on New Japan World Live.
Yeah.
I think it's released within a week, right?
Yeah.
Which is the Noah invasion, which is really cool. Anyway.
Yeah, but why? Why wouldn't you air that? I don't understand.
I think it's because of the arena itself.
Is that what it was?
I think so. I think there's like it's something to do with the arena and a possible, maybe they don't got internet.
Hey, Tony, they cut the internet.
They cut the internet.
All right, let's go into this.
Wrestle Kingdom Night 1, the King of Pro Wrestling 2022, New Japan Ranbo, Chase Owens, Toru Yano, Minoru Suzuki, and Sima advance. Yo defeated Sho. That was a fun match. Kenna, Taiji Ishimori, and El Phantasmo beat Rocky Romero, Taguchi, and Tanahashi. keep trying to keep that Bullet Club strong. Jeff Cobb, Will Ospreay, and Great O'Khan. The United Empire beat Sonata, Bushi, and Naito. Those Ingo Bernable is a Japón. Shibata made his in-ring return, beating Ren Narita, who looks exactly like Shibata. So
okay.
That was kind of fun to watch.
I have a question for you. So
yeah.
The last 2 days, I've been very disconnected from stuff. So the story of Shibata, this match is very interesting. It was going to be an exhibition originally, right? They had said that it was going to be an exhibition match. They weren't going to have like a full match. It was going to be very safe. And I think Shibata came out and like went into business for himself. That's what people were saying. And he's like, F it, we're going to have a real match. And he had a real match.
It was very hard. It got very hard hitting at one point.
It did.
Like classic Shibata, but he was protecting his head as he should.
He was.
It was fantastic. Did you know that they had to put his brain back in?
Did you know that they took his brain out and they put it back in? You read that, right?
I did read that.
Did you guys read that? First of all, I don't. Was it from The Observer? Was that clip from The Observer?
You sent me the
I did.
The paragraph. I'm not sure who wrote it, but apparently when Shibata suffered his injury, his brain had to be taken out of his head and then put back in his head.
I'm like, and I'm like, bro, I don't even know if that's possible. And then MG Geek writes, he goes, so wait, they gave him a brain transplant? I'm like, can you imagine? I'm like, first of all, no, you didn't get a brain transplant. I'm like, he's not himself. If it's whose brain did they put in his body? You know what? I want Braun Strowman's brain in Shibata's body.
What am I doing in here?
What am I doing in here?
Whoa, what am I doing in here, dude?
And Shibata's brain in Braun Strowman's body?
In Braun Strowman's body. Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be freaking awesome. I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure you can't take a dude's brain out and then put it back in 10 minutes later.
Oh, my God.
You can't leave it on the counter while you prepare the rest of it.
Morbid.
You know?
Morbid says, it was accurate. They put Shibata's head on a new body. That's what that's what it was. It was inaccurate.
It was a head transplant.
It was a head transplant. There you go. But dude, he looked great, man. You know what? What a great. It's so ridiculous, right? Like this guy, he was very, very. He was not in good shape. By the way, I don't know where that quote was from. I'm just gonna say that I have no idea who wrote that. I don't know if it was in the Observer. I don't know where the hell it was. I don't know if it was a joke, but I thought it was funny when I read it. I think, you know, like, do I want to see him have these matches again? I don't know. Like, this is a nice send-off. If this is how you do it and you have this great match as your final match and you continue training these guys, awesome.
That's dangerous territory. I want the dude to stay as healthy as possible. Towards the end of the match, he did look like old Shibata. Like, he was kicking ass.
Dude, you want to flip brains? You want to flip brains? Me and you?
So you'll be in my body.
Friday.
I'll be in your body.
Let's do a Freaky Friday.
I would do so much jackass stunts if I was in your body.
You know what? All I would do is just read about ratings.
Stop reading about ratings. You're ruining my body.
You're ruining my body.
Next up, we had the never Openweight Championship. Evil beat Tomohiro Ishii to win the title. Cool. Next up, IWGP Tag Team Champions Goto and Yoshihashi beat the Dangerous Techers, Zack Sabre Jr. and Taichi to win the titles. IWGP Junior Heavyweight, El Desperado beat Hiromu Takahashi. That was a fun match.
Very fun match.
That was a very good match. El Desperado's like 40 years old.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's up there. Go ahead.
Let me ask you about Hiromu. How do you think he's been since his injury?
I think he's been good. I think he's been protecting his neck a little more. He's not
big
taking
time.
Those crazy bumps, but you know, like very solid, man. Like I really like that dude. His entrance outfit was pretty.
By the way,
I
don't mean his in-ring performance. I mean like changing his style a little bit. You know what I mean?
I think he tweaked it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And your main event, IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, Kazuchika Okada beat the champion Shingo Takagi to win. To take back, I guess, what is rightfully his? IWGP Championship. Okada came out with the old belt, the old school belt, after he won. He bowed to the old belt. I guess this is really the end of the old belt.
I hate
put on the new belt. It's a weird belt, but I think if anybody can make it look cool, it's Okada. Like, the guy looks like a movie star, bro.
He does. He does. He really looks like a movie. I mean, what a he's a fascinating guy, and I think the story of Okada will be he never does North America fully, and he's like this star. You know, when he finally comes here and he has a match in North America that does, you know, like when he AEW or whatever he does, that's gonna be a one off, and I don't think he'll be here. I think he's one of those like very protected people, like Tanahashi.
I agree. I would say Tanahashi more with that statement than Okada. I can't see Tanahashi doing like an extended tour like Suzuki, but I think Okada could do the bigs. He could main event a bunch of stuff.
Can you see either one of them in WWE?
Ooh. In
main roster.
That deal would have to be super sweet. Give me your circumstances to get Okada to do, let's say, Okada versus Roman. Give me your circumstance to get
I don't think they would even be able to do that. I think they would do something, you know, in their minds, it would be positive. They would do Okada and like Nakamura because they have a rivalry.
Okay.
You know, I would have loved to see Tanahashi and Cena.
Tanahashi Cena dream match.
And you know what? And I would see John Cena doing like the Hulk Hogan thing where like he's wrestling in Japan or he's wrestling like a prominent Japanese wrestler and he starts wrestling like when Hogan does like a head scissor takedown on Muda, which is the most bizarre thing, you know? And I got to tell you, Hogan's finisher in Japan, he should have just stuck with that, dude. That leg drop ruined his life.
It effed up his back, huh?
It really did. And he says it. He goes, I'm the biggest guy. I'm 6'8", and I could have done any move. And I picked dropping on my ass every single night over and over and over again.
Come on, brother.
Dude, that the lariat is a great move.
Fantastic. Oh, yeah. Like his double axe handle finisher in
double
Japan.
Double axe handle finisher, yeah.
We also had Wrestle Kingdom Night 2. Yuji Nagata, Hanma, Togi Magabe defeated Bad Luck Fale, Jade Ogito in the opener. You had Master Wato, Kojima, Tenzan beating Desperado, Taka Michinoku, and Kenemaru, Suzuki-gun.
I can't believe Taka's still around.
He's the best. Bushi, Hiromu, and Shingo beating Dookie, Zack Sabre Jr., and Taichi. You had your IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Championship, Robbie Eagles and Tiger Mask beating Taguchi and Rocky Romero, El Fantasmo and Ishimori to retain the titles. Tam Nakano and Saya Kamitani beat Mayu Iwatani and Starlight Kid. This was the Stardom match.
Yes.
And I read somewhere that the rumor, or I'm not 100% sure on this, that Starlight Kid is actually the 9-year-old girl that Kenny Omega wrestled.
Is that true?
That I read it as a rumor. I'm not 100% sure. I can't confirm it.
Anybody know that? I don't know.
You had your King of Pro Wrestling. Well, actually, I'm going to go back because the original rumor was that 9-year-old girl.
It's me.
Is Riho. Is you, Andrew.
It's me. I'm the 9-year-old.
You're the 9-year-old. You're the forever the 9-year-old girl. You had King of Pro Wrestling. Actually, I'm sorry. I'm gonna go back. People were saying it's Riho who was the 9-year-old girl originally, but she's not. You had the King of Pro Wrestling 2022. Suzuki beat Toriano, Chase Owens, and Seema to win the trophy. Very cool. All right, cool. Suzuki's had a great year.
Yeah.
Never open weight, 6-man tag, Evil, Takahashi, Sho, the House of Torture, beat Goto, Yoshihashi, your favorite, and Yo to retain the titles. Noah invades Wrestle Kingdom. A lot of promos thrown back and forth. I think that was a very cool moment. You got to see Muda. All about it. Sonata beat the Great Okan. Naito beat Jeff Cobb. Fun match. You had your IWGP United States Championship in a no DQ. Tanahashi beating Kenta to win the title.
Fantastic match.
The high fly flow off the top of the ladder.
Yeah.
Highlight reel for Tanahashi.
Fantastic.
For sure. It was awesome. And your main event, Okada versus Ospreay. Fantastic match. Again, Okada's a movie star. Ospreay has such a strong future in that company or whatever he does.
Dave gave it 5.7 stars, and rightfully so. I think they did a great job at this.
Ridiculous.
So here was my problem with this show. Okay. Way too many matches over 2 days. I mean nothing. Wrestle Kingdom is Wrestle Kingdom. It should be. I don't. Even for WrestleMania, I don't like multiple nights. I really don't. I think it. unless you have this mega card that you would say, oh my God. Like, listen, if you have a hot, super hot product and you're working with another promotion and you have this ability to put together these matches that you really are intrigued to see because either they're really going to be good matches or intriguing matches that you've never seen before, I could see doing two nights. But
for sure,
to have it be so many tag matches, you know, trios matches, it's too much. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 matches, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 matches over two nights. I'm sorry, 20 matches over two nights.
Yeah. With That's no wild. Real, like, you know, I always enjoyed, and this is like a minor gripe too, I think. I love New Japan, but I always enjoyed, and I think you're gonna agree with me, a long Wrestle Kingdom, first four matches, I'm cool with your Rumbles and your tag matches and your tournament matches.
Yeah.
But then when you get into that meaty, like those six main event matches, that's the bread and butter for Wrestle Kingdom for me.
Interesting.
Because they're all bangers.
I get it. You know, like I'm... Listen, we were tape traders, right?
Oh yeah,
that's how we got into it. I hold Japanese wrestling to a very high standard, especially on the main. And by the way, that standard exists. It's just they're in a not a dark period, but they're not in a position that they were even 2 years ago. And people were starting to be a little bit critical of, you know, their booking and how it's kind of changing a little bit. Listen, a lot of this was not their fault. They were given really bad hands. They lost a lot of talent. The pandemic happened. A lot of talent couldn't go over there. Because I'm willing to bet that we would have seen a lot more Japanese talent on AEW TV and vice versa, AEW talent on Japanese TV.
For sure.
You know, we're in a pandemic and it didn't happen. And it's a lot of wrestling. And they felt that they needed to get these guys on the card. And they... Did you watch the English commentary or the Japanese commentary?
I straight up watched Japanese commentary because it gets me so hyped.
You had a way better experience than me because I listened. I went back for night two for the main event and I watched on the Japanese commentary. That building was on fire. And it was only 6,000 people. Yeah, Listening to the American commentary, the English commentary, I thought it was abysmal. The mix was off. You had people in different locations, so some people sounded way better. Some people sounded way worse. The crowd wasn't mic'd properly. Listen, I think it's really cool that we got Stardom and Noah involved in this. I think it's really cool, but I don't think they presented this in the best way they could have. That's all. I wish they did because I absolutely love New Japan. This is nowhere near what it was 2-3 years ago.
Do you think they just this was thrown together more out of tradition than anything?
I think they did the best that they could. And again, not their fault. They did the best could.
I think, you know, also there was injuries, a lot of injuries this past year, a lot of up and downs. I think there was some fan backlash. There was definitely the travel issues, the COVID issues, all that stuff kind of, you know, boiled down to like kind of they're doing the best they can, you know? And that's great because you want them to thrive. You want them to succeed. I think they're going to have a really... With Okada taking it all, I think they're going to right the ship in 2022 and we're going to get more cool New Japan stuff going forward.
I hope so. I think once the travel opens up a little bit, you know, it'll be... I think that'll be the difference for them.
Yeah.
They'll be able to do more. And obviously having a live crowd, you know, they're not able to cheer. That impacts the quality. I mean, first of all, being in a building where people aren't able to really cheer and putting on those kind of matches, it says something about the caliber of performers.
Yeah.
You know? Where are we?
We're at AEW Rampage from last week.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about
New Year's Eve Rampage.
Yeah. That main event was something.
It was something. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. Me too. Loved it. Like I said, this time next year, Penelope Ford is going to have that belt.
We saw her. You were with me. We saw her at Evolve, right, where she was managing Joey Janela.
I believe so.
And I was, and I think you're like, oh yeah, she's going to be a big star. And I hope so. I think she's fantastic. She's good. I think they all worked really, really hard in that match.
Yeah. A lot of good spots.
Mm-hmm.
Wild. It got wild.
It did. I like those matches every now and then.
This last Wednesday was the inaugural Dynamite on TBS, the Turner Broadcasting Station.
Yeah. Wrestling back on TBS. This was pretty cool. Hey, by the way, big shout out to the guys over at the AEW on TV account, the Turner, the TBS account.
Oh,
they have been on fire, those guys. They put out a flyer for like, what was it? What was the flyer? Let me just pull it up here.
They did like an old school TBS flyer with a bunch of old school TV shows.
Andy Griffin. Like,
yeah.
Let me find it. But they're really creative. And some of the insight stuff that they say on there, I think Tony Khan responded to it on TV. Let me find this because it was done really well. And I love it when like a you don't expect these things from them. Like from a partner to tweet some stuff like that. So very, very
cool, man. It adds to the coolness and like how much fun this stuff could be, you know?
Yeah, very cool. I like that. They've been throwing out some pretty cool references out there. Mm-hmm. Really like deep dive. So kudos to them.
So last Wednesday, Dynamite, first Dynamite on TBS, you had your opening match, the AEW World Championship, Hangman versus Bryan Danielson, with your judges, Mark Henry, Jerry Lynn, and Paul White.
Awesome. Okay. Did they or did they not do a terrible job at doing these judges?
You know what? Whatever. I think they did, but you know, like honestly, like who cares? When you know what does it for me about wrestling? This is the exploding barbed wire thing, right? If 5% of an amazing thing doesn't work, it's not gonna ruin it
for me. It didn't ruin it for me at all.
You know, the judges, a little whack, but you know what? Great match. Hangman cemented himself as champion. 30-minute match. Did you enjoy it? You said you enjoyed this more than part one.
I did. But again, I watched it very differently. I love the cradle pile driver that he did in front of Jerry Lynn that Danielson did. That was really cool. I enjoyed the match. It was really fast paced. I really liked the 60-minute match also, but I just feel like this was a little different. And it was, you know, it started the show. I think a lot of people thought it would go longer, and it didn't. So it came out of, you know, it was like a surprise finish. Double juice, both of them, covered
double
in
juice,
blood.
Baby.
And I thought it was a great finish. I thought it told a great story, the match.
Yeah, it was fun. Next up, you had a interesting segment, Sean Dean beating MJF by a smart disqualification.
Yeah,
there was a CM Punk run-in. MJF clears the ring. CM Punk GTS's Sean Dean, the captain Sean Dean, giving MJF his first loss of the year.
First loss ever, I think, right? Singles loss. No, he lost before. First loss of the year. Yeah.
First loss of the year, so it throws off his standings. Also, their promos back and forth, pretty excellent, man. This is drawing from a lot of real life stuff, and it's kind of interesting. I wonder if Punk told him, like, hey, you know what, if you want to go there, go there.
Yeah, well, that promo was fantastic. So the key points here from that promo were MJF saying something like, maybe in a couple of years I'll go and I'll headline WrestleMania.
Yeah,
right, something you've never been able to do, which a lot of people thought it was like a shoot, and CM Punk got angry at it. I'm like, dude, you think these guys didn't talk about this? Like, they're both very creative guys.
Exactly.
CM Punk comes back with the line of, you know, something along the lines of, you know, go ahead and feature night 4 of their buy one, get 2 night, you know, WrestleMania, and you're going to end up here after they fire your ass or something like that, which was a nice comeback. These two have been fantastic back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Really memorable stuff. Really good chemistry. I just hope they have that chemistry in the ring.
I do think, judging by the writing on the wall, I do think MJF is going to take the win over Punk.
You think so?
Punk doesn't need the win.
He doesn't need the win, but I think this is a either way, I'm happy.
Yeah, same here. Chris Jericho calls out 2.0. gets attacked by Daniel Garcia, but Kingston and Santana and Ortiz make the save. I like what they're doing with 2.0 and Danny Garcia. They're setting them up to be future players.
Yeah, dude. I like them a lot. Like, what a classic heel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just loud, obnoxious. It works for me. I think some people are annoyed by it, but I actually like it. I like 2.0. Jericho mentioned that this is the first time he's on TBS since April of 1999.
Crazy.
Where he lost to Booker T on Thunder.
Very nuts. Mm-hmm. Next up, you had Wardlow with Shawn Spears beating Antonio Zambrano. And then you had your TBS championship match, Jade Cargill with Mark Sterling beating Ruby Soho. This was the finals of the tournament, and Jade Cargill won. She's the inaugural TBS champion. How'd you feel about this?
So Jade Cargill came out, by the way, in a storm outfit.
Trying not to talk about it because it really did it for me.
I know. And by the way, do you know why she came out as Storm?
Why?
Apparently, that's how she got a lot of popularity, because she did this awesome Storm cosplay and she posted the photo and it got really like blew up a couple years ago.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Absolutely. Let me
see if I... Jade Cargill.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Storm.
There's a few images of her in that outfit with like an amazing like photoshopped cloudy background and all that.
Yeah. Very cool. Very, very cool gear on her.
How'd you feel about the match?
I thought it was fine. You know, she's... Listen, they're booking her as a monster. I get it. She's not, you know, she's not five-star. She's not having five-star matches, but she doesn't need to. I think everything... her look pulls it off.
Yeah.
The look is what's selling it, and I like the visual of it. I just hope that she gets way better and continues on, because there was a great presence in her. I just hope that it continues.
You had up next Malakai Black versus Brian Pillman. I love how Malakai Black is just messing with the Pillman Jr.
Pillman with the worked botch, right?
Mm-hmm.
He went on the top and then slipped, and that was a mistake where he murdered Pillman. But I know people from there listen. If you could send this to Pillman Jr., I'm dying, because I know it's going to happen. I'm dying for him to turn into the loose cannon.
You really want that to happen? He's going to be pushed?
I'm a big fan of his. I really enjoy him.
Do you think Malakai Black, do you think Malakai Black will push him so far enough that he gets unhinged?
I hope so. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think this program might be over by the looks of things, but I don't know. I was a big Pillman fan, so maybe that plays a big part in this, but I think, you know, he's gotten stocky now. He's gotten bigger.
Yeah.
It's so weird to say, like, I get like such a nice feeling from him. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to see him be super successful in this.
Same here, yeah.
And I think he works super hard, and I think he's a great athlete. I really want him to slowly start losing it, and I did think that T-shirt he was wearing a couple of weeks ago was the beginning of it.
That Venom T-shirt?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was the beginning.
Now, let me ask you this. What did you make of the lights going in and out during the entire night?
So that was it the entire night, or was it during the main event?
It was a couple of times during the night, and also during a Malakai Black segment, I kept thinking, oh, here comes
Brody.
Either Wyndham or Brody King. What about you?
Well, Brody King is signed, right? Do you call him Brody?
I call him Brody King.
Do you call him Brody King?
Yeah.
I don't know if you stick with that name.
What would you call him? If they're going to further him with the House of Black, would he have like Malakai Black and then like Mordecai Black?
Mordecai Black, yeah. I want it to all be about the macabre. Macabre, I would call him macabre.
The macabre Black or
no.
Maybe Leon Black?
Leon?
Yeah.
Vader? What is this? Why did he do this? Why did he become Dr. Zoidberg and do this? This thing?
Hang on.
You want to see my Vader?
I want to see
my Vader. Ready? That's my Vader. Why did he do this? Why? Why is this like?
That's a V. That's clearly a V.
Oh, for Vader?
Yeah, for Vader.
I mean, I always saw it as like a Dr. Zoidberg thing.
He doesn't have, Vader the wrestler does not have lobster claws for hands.
He has lobster claws for hands and he has a red face.
You know, I've been saying, we've been doing the show for 10 years. I've pretty much almost every other episode, I say that you need glasses. I think it's about time, man.
It's about time.
I think it's about time.
The main event, go ahead. Sorry.
Your main event, AEW World Tag Team Championship, Jurassic Express, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus with Christian Cage beating the Lucha Brothers with Alex Abrahantes to win the titles. Great match. They put on a show.
Yeah.
This was a very PWG style match. Yeah. And unfortunately, Ray Phoenix destroyed his arm, but he's going to be okay.
Oh my God. He went through the table and his arm dislocated the other way. Oh, what a, it was gruesome. And in that replay, it was even worse.
Yeah.
What did you think of the end where all the tag teams came out and they were just like staring at them?
That really did it for me. I thought that was such a cool moment where you saw all the tag teams want that title now that it's in Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus's hands, arguably like rookies, right? In terms of like kayfabe. And oddly missing from that equation were the Bucks. Bucks were not there. Very interesting.
Yeah, Bucks. They have COVID, right?
I don't know. But the Bucks weren't there. And I think this is going to lead to some really cool stuff. FTR, yeah,
the lights going off in this match, Rich. Do you remember when it happened?
It happened after the Pillman thing, and it happened during the main event.
It happened in the main event during when they went for the pin. When the Lucha Bros went for the pin, and the lights went out, and essentially, I took that as Malakai Black cost them the title. And they're going to be in a feud with if it's Brody King and Malakai Black, because they are PWG Tag Team Champions. They've teamed up many times in the past. Mm-hmm. It'll be them as a tag team versus the Lucha Bros to start it.
Do you want to see the PWG belts defended on AEW?
No. I don't want PWG ever syndicated anywhere. I still want them to only do Blu-rays and DVDs.
Just keep it what it is.
Keep it what it is. No, I mean, listen, it'd be cool. It'd be really cool. I'm into it.
Are the fans ready to dive into what PWG is?
I think they get enough of it. We've gotten the PWG style. You know, like, we talk about how, like, Ring of Honor, ECW inspired a certain style of wrestling that somehow bizarrely turned into Ring of Honor. And Ring of Honor, and then, like, now PWG is, like, another evolution of that.
I agree with that. Very interesting.
That's how I see it. It's very interesting stuff.
Last night, good.
No. Go ahead.
Last night we had AEW Rampage. Adam Cole beat Jake Atlas. Jake Atlas got hurt, but not as hurt as people think. I think he popped his knee. They announced Cody Rhodes positive for COVID, and the match will be changed for Saturday. Originally, it was supposed to be Sammy Guevara versus Cody for a rematch of the TNT title, but
yeah,
they announced Dustin will replace Cody, and the match will be for an interim TNT championship until Cody gets better. I'm not sure how that works.
I don't know either, but this is so yesterday afternoon I sent a group chat, you know, a message. I was like, hey, what time did I send you that, Rich, in the group chat?
Ooh.
Like it was sometime in the afternoon. But essentially I was told that, you know, Cody's out. He has COVID. And I was like, oh crap, what happens now? And he goes, oh, they're still going to have a TNT title match and they're having an interim title. I'm like, who's defending it? He goes, Dustin's going to be in it. So I didn't want to spoil it for anybody. So I tweeted, I'm like, oh, I'm really looking forward to that match. Okay, cool. Have they ever done an interim champion like that? Like announced an interim champion? I don't think so. We've had like multiple people say that they're the actual champion, but we've never had like an interim title. Very cool, unique, different, you know?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I always like seeing Dustin wrestle.
What if Dustin wins?
And that's tonight. That is tonight, by the way, the Battle of the Belts.
Mm-hmm. Battle of the Belts tonight.
So Hook beat Aaron Solo with QT Marshall, 3 minutes 19. Listen, that kid is over. Hook did an amazing leg hooking suplex, and He delivered a crazy suplex to QT Marshall, who sold it like $1 million. I'm digging this. I'm digging the whole hook thing. How about you?
Me too. I'm very much liking it. Mm-hmm. I just don't... I want them to take their time with this.
Okay.
Take their time. Let this build up. Like, turn this into, like... Okay. Orange Cassidy, right?
Okay.
Orange Cassidy came from online hype. Right?
Yes.
Isn't that how it came? That's where it originated. Like, it was mostly an online following. Mm-hmm. I've been invited to a Seinfeld wrestling group. I don't even know what this would even entail, but I'm very fascinated by this. I just got a message inviting me to a Seinfeld wrestling group.
You got to stop reading your messages while we do the show.
Sorry. It constantly pops up. I don't want, like, Orange Cassidy, it took me a while to like get into it, but like he was a big cult following online, and that's how it built. Yeah. And the same thing's happening for Hook. I just feel that they could do a way stronger job with Hook once he gets to that point. You know, give it like another 6 months before he challenges anybody legitimate.
I think it's a lot of fun, and it kind of puts him over, and it sort of puts Team Taz over also, man. Who'd have thought, right?
Yeah.
Who'd have thought? Taz, Brian Cage is missing. But, you know, Hobbs, Ricky Starks, and Hook. Yeah. What a team. All right. And your main event last night, Eddie Kingston, Santana and Ortiz beating Daniel Garcia in 2.0. Great main event. A lot of fun. I like that Eddie's teaming with Santana and Ortiz. There's that Jericho thing that's also there.
So you think they're going to have a match, or you think they're going to team up?
I think it's going to be both.
Both. They'll look both. Okay.
I think you and I have only been watching wrestling for 60 years.
We've seen it all.
Tonight, AEW Battle of the Belts, interim TNT Championship match, Dustin versus Sammy. Andrew, who takes it?
I think, you know, like both scenarios are great, right? Like, I can see Dustin winning somehow. Dustin gets the title, and now you get a brother versus brother match again.
I would love that.
With both titles on the line, and you do that thing again. Or two, Sammy wins. Cody and Dustin, like, they have, like, a big problem, right? And furthering Cody's bizarre superhero heel turn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's, like, furthering that Homelander gimmick where he, like, beats the crap out of Dustin for losing. I'd like to see both. I don't care. I'll go both directions.
I don't mind that. I like the opening of, like, you could also have Dustin almost turn on Cody and say, hey, listen, it's been a while since I held a championship. I kind of like how this feels.
Yeah.
You know, and then have them do the feud that way. You also have the AEW Women's Championship, Britt Baker versus Riho. I feel like this is going to be an excellent match.
It should be. I think for Britt Baker, they need to now create new opponents.
Yes.
I think they've hit that wall where they need to create somebody new for her to face. Which they're doing a good job over the last couple, you know, weeks. They've been really building other female talent on TV. We should go back to SmackDown for a minute, Rich, because we didn't touch on this. What did you think last night? We skipped over because we wanted to get through everything, but what did you think of SmackDown?
So SmackDown last night was interesting. I like the opener.
Great opener. Fantastic, you know,
great
opener.
Brock came out with Paul Heyman. Roman comes out. And there's like a weird Brock, Paul Heyman, Roman Reigns love triangle where...
That's what it is.
Paul Heyman has Stockholm Syndrome pretty much from being under the thumb of Roman Reigns. And Brock started kind of cussing out Paul. And then Roman's like, yo, man, don't talk to him like that.
Yeah. Yeah, because first of all, he insulted him, and then he's like, nah, you can't talk to him like that. I'm like, what is happening here? What is going on? I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I want to see those titles. I want to see a title for title match. I really, Absolutely. Really do. Because think Absolutely. About it. We've seen this match 5 million times, right?
This not tired of it.
I'm not tired of it either, but if you want to up the ante as like the final time, you know, you do a title for title, but who takes it?
Yeah, I think Roman, I want them to do a unification. I think as cool as it is to having two belts on your shoulders, I want like whatever name they come up with, like the WWE Mega Super Champion or whatever the hell it is. I think that should go to Roman to further establish him as like this insane super boss.
Brock's had both belts. Brock was undisputed unified champion, yes. Right? He had both yes. of them. He had the world title and the WWE title. I would, you know, there's multiple things. You do this at SummerSlam. SummerSlam, jeez. You do this at Royal Rumble. Maybe you have Seth cost somebody the title, or you have, you know, somebody else cost somebody the title. Now you set up a different championship. I'm very intrigued, and I say this every year. I always like this time of the year for WWE leading into WrestleMania, because now you start seeing things that you normally don't see. And listen, this may have been a happy mistake for them, a happy blessing that maybe they're going to revert back. Maybe they're going to correct this change. But we did also see Seth Rollins show up on SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see how he knocked when he knocked on Roman's door? He knocked with the Shield theme.
Yeah. Listen, they can go back to the well with that a million times. And plus, they both have history with Brock Lesnar.
I think they're going to have a match. I think he's going to face Roman. Ooh, maybe that's a WrestleMania match.
I wouldn't mind that either.
I'd be
cool with that.
Yeah.
We also missed Ricky Starks is going to defend his FTW championship against Matt Sydal tonight.
Oh, really? They added that?
Yeah, they added that yesterday on air.
Love that stupid title.
It's a great title. Do you wish you had the FTW belt?
Yeah, I wish I had the FTW belt. I like the old FTW belt. Remember the old FTW belt?
Yes.
It was a winged eagle.
Yes, that was awesome. Do you want to do questions?
Let's do it, boys and girls. Question time. Submit your questions in the chat room. We got about 15 minutes here. We're going to run down these questions and hopefully answer everything that you sent us.
Guys, if you want your questions to get read immediately, feel free to super chat us if you're in the chat room. We're going to do those right now. All right. This first super chat is from our buddy Ryan Martins. $4.99. Thank you, Ryan. Regarding the NIL, I think Gable Steveson was the only one to get that ball rolling for WWE. His potential is through the roof, and I'm excited for him.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited for it. He's obviously a star athlete. I just hope he transitions into professional wrestling, you know, the right way.
Absolutely.
Not everybody's going to be a Kurt Angle. And there is a lot of that comparison where, you know, this guy is going to be able to become that. I don't know. You got to give it time. You got to see how he is. It's a different program. He's very soft-spoken, unlike Angle. Angle was deranged always, you know, with his
always
promos.
Deranged.
He was always deranged, which was great in a positive way. Roman versus, by the way, the match is Roman and Seth for Royal Rumble.
Ooh, fantastic.
Yeah, so that's happening. Okay, very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. I don't know. Do you think Gable Steveson will have a mega run?
Again, my thoughts are, and don't take this verbatim, I just hope he's not one of those guys that they hire only to fire.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he's going to, I think they're going to try everything to make it work.
I want to see him succeed for sure. But, you know, like I feel like we've been burned so many times in the last couple of years.
Yep.
All right. Next up, we got our buddy Bob Rowe. $5 for another episode of Giorgio Tsoukalos and the Ancient Armenians.
Dude, they should do that about us. We came out of an egg.
I think so. Like Muda.
We came out of an egg. Bob is absolutely right. Brutal Bob Rowe, my attorney.
Next up, we got another $4.99 from Ryan Martins. NXT 2.0 isn't as bad as people make it out to be. I think it's because people are holding it to the black and gold standard, and they still have some players there with regard to 2.0.
I don't know, man. It's a different. We got to give it time. I'm watching it. There's certain things that I really enjoy. There's certain things that I really don't care for.
Yeah.
You know, it's
like anything.
It's not like a collaboration of the best independent talent anymore. It's a different company. It's a totally different approach.
Let's get to the next one here. This next one is from Tiff Stratton fan on YouTube.
Oh, hello.
Have you heard of more WWE women surprises for the Royal Rumble?
Who did they announce yesterday? Let me see here. Here we go. We got Rhea Ripley, Nikki Ash, Aaliyah, Natty, Shayna Baszler, Summer Rae. Summer Rae?
Yeah, Summer Rae.
Wow, okay. Tamina, Dana Brooke, Kelly Kelly, Naomi, Carmella, Zelina Vega, Michelle McCool. I hope Michelle McCool comes out as The Undertaker.
That'd be amazing.
She needs to start doing that. The Bella Twins, both. Lita. And Mickey James, the current Impact champion, Women's Champion. By the way, WWE, on their social media, listed her as Mickey James Impact Women's Champion. Knockout Champion. Impact Knockouts Champion.
How gracious.
Very cool. Very cool. Maybe this is their I'm sorry.
How gracious is it for Mickey James to turn around and actually want to work with WWE again after they send her all her stuff?
Did you just disappear? I lost Rich. Let's give it a minute. Let's see where Rich is. Are you back?
I'm here.
I lost you for a second.
I lost you too. You did. I'm glad we're back together. Oh, can we hear each other now?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Are you recording this?
I am recording it. Mickey James coming in. They promoted the Impact, Knockouts champion, which was pretty interesting. I've never seen WWE do that before.
So Scott D'Amore actually said, we're always open to do crossovers like this. But I think the caveat was, who knows if she's going to be Impact champion after tonight in her match with Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah, I want Deonna to win.
Yeah, for sure. Next up, we got another super chat from Ryan Martins. Any chance we see some returns in the Rumble match in both the men's and women's? Other than who was announced last night, hoping it's Bray.
By the way, both pretty much to answer that other question, I think we'll get a couple more surprises for the women's side.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Stacey Keibler. Man, I would love to see Stacey Keibler come back, but she dropped them unbelievably after Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, I think she tried to be legitimate and then started dating George Clooney, and I don't know what she does now. Maybe she's making candles or some bullshit.
That's it. She's done. She's set. She's done for life. Let's see. She dated Clooney for a while.
Yeah. So
any chance
what do you
we
think?
See returns in the Rumble? I think this year we'll get some. Last year, remember, we didn't get much because of the whole pandemic, but I think this year we'll see a couple surprises in the Rumble.
Yeah, dude. Braun Strowman.
Maybe. What if you get Bray?
Bray would be cool, but who knows? Do you think AEW or any other company should do a Royal Rumble-esque big event?
Don't they do? Don't they do the don't they have a Royal Rumble match?
They do, but it's the confusing
I hate it.
Joker whatever thing. All right. Next up, this is from EMC4K. Thank you for the super chat. Seeing as how AEW's champs seem to be getting younger, Jericho 51, Hangman 30, do you feel the next champ for AEW will be one of the four pillars, starting with MJF?
I don't think so. I don't have that age thing that a lot of people do when it comes to looking at talent. I think whatever the hot program is, you go there. You don't go based on if they're too young or too old. If it's working, it's working. If it's not working, you got to be really, conscious of that. MJF, who would it be? MJF, Jungle Boy, who else would it be for the guys?
Darby, Sammy.
I don't think so. I think the next one is probably going to go to maybe a Danielson or a Punk. Maybe MJF. Out of all of them, I would say MJF has the most, but he doesn't need the title yet.
No.
You don't need to do that yet. Keep him the way he is and then make it into a big deal. I don't know. I have a feeling Punk's going to get that title.
Sooner than later.
I don't know, man. I don't know why I get that feeling. Sooner than later.
Let's see.
How about you? What do you think? One.
I think it's going to eventually rotate between Sammy and Darby and MJF and Jungle Boy, but not for another few years. I also do think that when MJF gets that title, he's going to hold on to it, much like Triple H, for a year and a half until some kind of mega face takes it off of him, and who knows who that's going to be. The guy's had some great feuds over the past couple of years. This one is from our buddy Chris, $4.99. Thank you. With Hangman getting the win over Danielson, what's next for both men? Adam Cole versus Hangman and Danielson versus who?
Danielson versus who? Let's see. With Hangman getting the win over Danielson, who's next for both men? I don't know. I think that's a great question. You know, right now you do have John Moxley possibly appearing soon. Mm-hmm. You have Kenny Omega sometime in February or March, hopefully. And maybe someone else shows up. What if Joe shows up and challenges for that title immediately? You know, you know, you have so many options here. I don't mm-hmm. know. And I like that. I don't know. I like the surprise element to this, but maybe mm-hmm. this feud is not over between Hangman and Danielson.
Yeah, I don't think it's over, man. I think AEW has done a good job of doing long-term feuding where they don't just drop the feuds where there's no interaction. You know? All right, let's see here. This is from OK Johnny.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear that Dunn and Ciampa had dark matches before SmackDown?
Yes, they had a dark match.
Ooh, very cool.
What does that say?
Listen, SmackDown, right? SmackDown.
I think Ciampa will do great on the main roster.
Same here. This one's from Lenny Baker off of Twitch. How damning an indictment is it that barely a year after kicking Mickie James to the curb, she's being brought back for the Women's Rumble?
I don't know. I think it's her business. You know, it's we don't know the conversations that they've had. Maybe they were like, listen, we really effed up here. We've been sending everybody shit in a garbage bag over the last couple of years. And
we've been doing this for years.
I don't know why the hell we did this. You know, like it could have been one of those moments. Like sometimes like, you know, Not a defense, but like sometimes people just put zero thought in certain things because they just want to get it over. Like, fuck it. I got to mail this shit to her. And they put it in the goddamn garbage bag and mailed it and not thinking like the optics look terrible. Like, I don't want to get my stuff in a garbage bag. But also, would I care? Like, would you care if you got your stuff back in like a garbage bag in a box?
Like, would you be
like, would you be like, oh, how dare they?
I would definitely be like, what the F?
I would be like, what the hell? Like, they didn't have any boxes? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I would say maybe, like, but, like, we don't know the conversation that they had. Obviously, Mickey's fine with it to appear. I know that they were very apologetic. Stephanie made a public apology to her on Twitter. I think they realize how bad that looks, but they were also in the middle of a pandemic. But, again, that's not an excuse for them. But, like, we don't know what was going on. And, obviously, you know, who knows? Mickey knows. And, obviously, it was good enough for her to want to return back for the Rumble.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So if you were in that situation, would you have rather they send you your stuff in a garbage bag or that they threw it out? Like if you called and were like, oh, you know, I got some stuff over there. And then somebody was like, yeah, we threw that out.
Oh, you know, that happened to me. That happened to me when I left my job a couple years ago. I had a bunch of shit there. I told them I'd come get it. They said, okay, no problem. I was like, listen, I'll be back. I never went to pick it up. They never called me and somebody threw it out.
That sucks.
And I was like, you know what? That's my fault. I should have picked it up.
All right. Moving on. This is from Orion. Which NXT superstars do you think would get the biggest pop in the Rumble? Maybe Tony D'Angelo?
Braun Breaker.
Braun Breaker for sure.
I don't think. I honestly don't think the main roster knows who Tony D'Angelo is. I don't think the people that watch or have any concept of him.
No.
Even the people that watch NXT. Like, we love. We're into it. We find it funny. We're into the gimmick. But I don't think anybody in the world really is sold on it totally, other than like mega fans of wrestling.
You know who'd get a big pop? Mandy Rose.
Mandy Rose will get a huge pop. Oh, you know what? Yeah. Maybe she'll show up in the Rumble.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. That's a possibility. This is from Morbid478 on Twitch. Does Mickie James come out to Hardcore Country for her WWE music?
Oh, dude, Morbid, this is the best question ever. Love the freaking Morty. Opening up his third eye on DMT. I would love to have Hardcore Country. You know what? And that would be such like a nice little nod.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm into that.
This next one is from Donde Stas on YouTube. Any news about WWE's pay-per-view in the UK this September?
Other than they're having a pay-per-view there, I don't know beyond it right now. I know that the story, some people were saying it was going to be in Wales. And then I was told that that's too soon to say that they're going to have it in Wales. But the person I spoke to said, you know, does it make sense to have it there when all the media connections are all in London? You know,
interesting. Yeah.
So I don't know. I know that people reported different areas in the UK. If I was doing it, I would say you want to stick to where you're going to get the most possible press, and that's being in London. So where would they do in London? They could do. Like, what, I mean, they're doing a stadium. Yeah, they could do Wembley, right?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. Bigger the better, right?
Yeah.
This is off of Twitter. This is from @Mox4Life. Is there any chance in seeing both Noah and AEW working together, since AEW already have a partnership with other cyberfight companies like DDT and TJPW?
I don't know. I'd like that.
That'd I wouldn't mind cool. that either.
I wouldn't mind that.
You want that. More Muta. You want more Muta.
I would like Muta, but you know, here's... listen. I would love Muta.
Yeah.
And I, you know what? I'm going to predict something. I think we're going to see Muta show up on AEW in 2022.
Like full Muta.
This thing?
Like,
when he comes out like this?
Yeah, when he's like doing this thing and he's got the mask on and he's spraying everybody down. I don't see Tajiri.
By the way, that beautiful Muta painting that you drew for me, that you painted for me, I absolutely love. I look at that thing constantly and I say, what an unbelievably talented human being you are.
I appreciate that. I
absolutely love it.
I actually am gonna start doing more wrestling related artwork.
Dude, why don't we do it live? Can you do it in one sitting?
I think I could do it in one sitting.
Do you normally do it in one sitting, or no, you go back?
I go back usually. I'll take a break, I'll do stuff. But let's see. Maybe we could do it.
Oh, that'd be cool. Fun. Like a donation one where like people just tip for you to continue doing it.
And then whoever wants to buy it could buy it at the end.
Yeah. I think that's freaking, you know what? I absolutely love that.
I was thinking about doing like smaller pieces. I'll show you a couple of them that I did last year. But you know, we'll figure that out. That's a art men.
Art men.
All right. This next one is from Toon77, another super chat.
Yeah, thank you, dude.
Raquel has to debut at Royal Rumble, right? She's done all she needs in NXT.
I think she could show up in Royal Rumble.
I
think she's great. You know, she's impressive to look at. You know, she's big, strong.
Yeah.
She can show up.
I think you're going to get a lot of NXTs, like Io Shirai maybe showing up, Dakota Kai. Did you lose me?
No, I'm just listening. Oh. I just like hearing you sometimes.
Just listen to my voice? Listen. All right. Yeah, just like listening. You ready for another one?
Yeah, let's do it.
This next one's from Charlie Orr. Our friend Charlie, what's up? Do you think Ronda Rousey wins the Royal Rumble match? That would be dope if she faced Becky. That would be pretty cool.
That would, but I don't think she just had the baby. She hasn't been training for wrestling. I do think we're going to get that match. I just don't know when. Maybe that's a SummerSlam match. Maybe that's a WrestleMania match next year. Maybe that's a special match somewhere. They definitely want to come back to Ronda Rousey. Ronda just needs to be, you know, in the mood.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that would be such a cool thing, but
she was fantastic for them. And looking back, and I know a lot of people poo-pooed on her for whatever reason. I think her presentation was fantastic. I think her in-ring was super impressive.
Yeah.
She looked great. She was believable. I was really a big fan of Ronda Rousey in WWE.
I liked her. My one dumb gripe is I was never a fan of the weird, wacky, zany eye makeup.
Oh, the eye makeup was terrible. But that was like a mistake. Don't make her look like Mac from Always Sunny being the night man.
Exactly.
That's my gimmick. That's what I do.
Was it a tribute to the night man?
I think it was a night man. Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. This is not in the queue, but this is from Supersonic X. Who will be number 30? And shock the world in the women's rumble. Asuka, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, or Sasha?
You know what? What if they do like Paige?
Ooh.
Not saying it is, but like for me, that'd be fun.
Paige, Bayley, Trish Stratus would be cool.
Trish Stratus, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if you have Trish eliminate Lita and you set up a WrestleMania match between Lita and Trish for the final time?
I wouldn't mind that either. I feel like that would be like a barn burner.
Love both of those. Love both of them. Lita and Trish. Love them equally.
Absolutely. Let's see what else we got here. This is from Brendan Taylor on YouTube. Are there any budget cuts this year?
Yes. We got the first set.
Yeah, we're also going to fire MG Geek.
This is, we're firing MG Geek. No, I think this is a common thing now in the company. They're constantly going to reevaluate. You're looking back every couple of months and seeing what's working, what's not, and cut your losses. A very different corporate structure, man. This is the first time in this company's history that you don't have somebody in the wrestling business, you know, essentially like George Barrios and Michelle Wilson. Like they were fine, but they were, they came in when McMahon was like still Vince doing everything. Barrios was there for 20 years. This is the first time we've seen somebody come in, not from wrestling, has a very high success rate outside of pro wrestling in sports corporate structures and things like that. Built a tremendous team. I don't think anybody's ever done that before in that company. And you have non-wrestling people running a wrestling company fully.
Yeah.
I think this is a very different WWE that's not under the spell of a McMahon. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. You know, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying it's a very different thing for a very different company. Nick Khan is not he doesn't have like a booking philosophy and running a company on the corporate side. He runs numbers. He runs a corporate business. So, right. Yeah, budget cuts are going to be there.
Do you want to end it on a high note?
Yeah, whatever.
This is from Chris Farrell. Member for five months. Great show today. Saturdays are fun ones.
Whoa, yes. I like Saturday shows.
Me too.
I like it.
I do like the Saturday morning. I get some coffee, get a workout in.
Yeah.
Get some chilling. I don't have any pants on.
Yeah, I got pants on. My kids just came back from Taekwondo, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to karate them. I found my gi.
Oh, I gotta see this.
I got it. I'll send you a photo of it. I'm gonna put it on. Please send you a photo. I still got the big Greek flag on it.
See, I didn't have that one.
We were in a cult.
Like, no thanks.
No, yeah, you didn't have the flags? You didn't have the patches?
I didn't have the flags. I had the patches. I had the Korean flag on mine, not the
I had the Korean flag, I have the Greek flag, I have the WTF, I have the Taekwondo Federation one. I'm like a Joe Rogan. I'm going to start kicking things like Joe Rogan.
Oh, memories.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I'm going to give them a little karate lesson like Effie used to give us.
Oh, very cool.
A stick. Rich and I went to a fanatical Taekwondo school where this older Greek lady used to beat us with like a piece of tree that she like cut off a tree. And she's just beat the shit out of everybody, all the kids. I cannot believe that's a real thing.
It was a good experience.
It was a fantastic experience.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Rich, anything you want to add?
No, thank you guys for tuning in. Please subscribe to us on YouTube. We're trying to get this follower count up. We're almost at 6,000. We want to hit 60,000. We want to be able to do this more for you. Sign up to Patreon, patreon.com/MattMenPodcast. And we're going to try to produce more content during the new year.
Yeah, guys.
Check it out.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, guys. That's it for this week. See you all later. Bye-bye for now.